If you are a parent, you remember very well, I'm sure, when your first child was born, the moment you realize life will never be the same. Years ago when I was teaching at the community college, we had a teaching team that was a great team. I have to say I really enjoyed my time there. And at one point we had an opening. And we worked very hard to find just that perfect fit. You know how critical teams can be, and one person could blow it up or make it work really well. And we wanted to have another great person in that spot. And after a very hard search, we found somebody that had been a former student of our program. And wow, did she work out great. She was a mother of a one-year-old and had a lot of energy. She worked real hard, and she just fit well into our system. She connected well with our students. Life was good. Laura was a real blessing to our program. Until about the third month, she walked in and handed me this picture. What do you see there? Triplets. At the 3 month. Now, understand, she had, you know, a one-year-old, like a 12, 11-month-old. And so she would soon be invaded by many, many diapers and much, much work. She knew her life was over as she knew it, and it was to be true. I remember thinking, oh, you could still manage, you could still work here because the fit was so wonderful. But it was a lost dream right from the start. That was not going to happen. New babies change our lives. And for Joseph, we see him responding quickly to God's directive to marry Mary and to start a home there in Nazareth. And so he did, quietly married her, and they did that. I can only wonder how his mind raced as he heard about the census, that he had to attend to things and travel to Bethlehem. The trip would be tough. The trip would be very challenging for their situation. Solutions would need to be found around every corner. Mary was very pregnant, but at least they had a donkey. That would help. But what about housing? What about food? Not to mention the cost of things and the care of a newborn. I'm sure it was very intimidating to Joseph as he just thought about it. I can only imagine. In our passage today, we'll see God providing for them, as you know the story well. We'll also see him confirm how active he is in their lives as he does that. God shows his support in very dramatic and tangible ways, and he shows them that he's with them every step of the way. In the start of this second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we have a description of the birth of Christ. It's a plain, simple story. It's easy to picture from the writer writing the account of that special night more than 2,000 years ago. It's a simple story. You know, it's almost, parts of this story is almost like we were in a drone. I can't imagine where a company could supply that. Where did our drone operator go? He just already left? He flew off, yes. Very appropriate. Actually, he told me he might, so that's not a surprise. But it's almost, as you get into Luke, you have this drone flying over this field outside of the town of Bethlehem, somewhere in the near presence of Bethlehem, and the shepherds are there watching their sheep. And to this day, you see that sight all over the Holy Land. That's a very common sight. When suddenly, there's this brilliant light that lights up the sky and surrounds the shepherds. Can you imagine that? An angel of the Lord appears to them, and he tells them, actually, he surprises them before he tells them. He scares them nearly to death. And I thought I'd read from a version. It's the GEV Bible. How many of you have heard of the GEV Bible? You might not have. It's the Gordon Elaborated Version. Okay, so this majestic angel tells a shepherd not to be afraid. And he's come with a message for the shepherd, a message of joy for them and for everyone on earth. The long-predicted Messiah has come to earth as a baby this very night in the village of Bethlehem, a town that David's family is from. A baby's been born, and they can find him in a barn, of all places, sleeping at that very moment in a manger. Then what made it even more dramatic, the sky filled with thousands of angels, thousands upon thousands of angels, and they're singing like a massive choir, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." And almost as dramatically as they came, they disappeared. The shepherds looked at each other and questioned, "Did you see what I mean? Did you? Wow!" They could barely talk. They couldn't believe what they'd just seen, but they saw it with their own eyes. They heard the message. Could it really be true? So, of course, they wanted to check it out. They drew straws, because someone had to stay with the sheep. So they left one shepherd in charge of all the sheep, and all the rest ran to Bethlehem, the little village of Bethlehem, not much bigger than Granite, and checked out. They found the parents and a baby boy, wrapped in strips of cloth, as they did in those days, lying in a manger, snug as a bug in a rug, just like the angel had talked about. The shepherds couldn't keep quiet. After they spent a little time with the parents and the child, they went out, and even though it was the middle of the night, they had to tell people, so they went wherever they could, not just then, probably for days and months after that. Just the thought of all that happening had to be just amazing. So now our drone lands, and we turn our focus to the new father, the new parents of this God child. We'll continue in Luke 2. And for these parents, I should say, for those of you who are parents, if you witness your child being born, you know what it's like to see life enter the world. You know it's a true miracle, and it's nothing less than a wonder to experience, to be part of God's creation of life, played out before your very eyes, and not just during that time, but as the child grows up, seeing God's work is nothing less than incredible. For Joseph and Mary, this was their first child, their very first experience with a child. And if you were like me as a new parent, I was totally intimidated thinking about the responsibility of being a parent. It was just, there were so many details. And these two were, it was even magnified. Not only were they worried about just being a parent for a normal child, but this was being a parent for the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. Joseph was particularly aware of his responsibilities to provide and to protect for his family. In Joseph's day, the full responsibility for that family fell on his shoulders. And there's so many things he needed to do, so many things he needed to schedule. Mary had her part figured out fairly quickly, feeding, diapers, sleeping. Not for the parents, of course, for the baby. For Joseph, the construction guy, it was all new. This rough, tough, blue-collar worker. We pick up the story in Luke 2, verse 21 in the NLT. Joseph does want to follow. He's a man to follow God's directives and words. He wants to be right and do the right things every step along the way to make sure this child of all child, is marked for God. Luke 2, 21 through 24. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem, which was it's like 5 or 6 miles from Bethlehem, to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So many details. So much cost. When was the last time you had to go find two turtle doves and buy it? It'd be pretty tough for us. Luckily, the rules say you could use two new pigeons as well. Yes, there is nothing like a newborn with all the responsibilities. And when you ever go and people around, people often want to talk and give advice. Often people want to hold the child, and that has happened often, especially this child, especially around the temple area. While they're at the temple, there's a man that came up, and I'll start reading from Luke 2:25. At this time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. You wonder how many other scholars knew scriptures and were waiting for that. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God. I want to say, this time, of all the people that came up to him, this guy had an agenda. He'd been told by God he was going to see Jesus, the Messiah, who was going to save Israel and the world. His message was a little bit different. He had a lot to tell this couple. Starting in verse 29 of Luke 2, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall. But he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your very soul." The new parents weren't sure how to take all that in. Simeon blessed them and said things about Jesus they had never even thought of or had heard before. Jesus would call many to fall. But then he added, "But many will experience joy too." God had sent Jesus with a purpose, but many would disagree with what God was doing. Many people's thinking would be exposed. Isn't all this interesting? And as parents, they would feel their own souls being pierced. Wow. These are things we don't see too often at Christmas. How does a father, a mother, as parents, how do they take that all in? We know life can be hard and every situation can have its challenges, but this is a lot to process. Joseph and Mary weren't done receiving advice on this day. You see, there was an older lady that was listening while Simeon was talking. They didn't feel like she was a problem. It's not that they didn't like her, because she seemed to have a godly presence as she listened in. We read from verse 26 of chapter 2. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Anna was quite outspoken. She told everyone what a gift God was giving. She praised God and thanked him over and over again for all to hear at the miracle of this child. Excuse me. It must have seemed surreal, but the fact was, it was very real. Jesus was a special child, and these parents would come to realize that in massive ways over the days ahead. But the experiences that we're realizing would not stop with Jesus as a baby. Luke goes on to tell us one of the very few passages where we hear about Jesus as a child in Luke 2, when Jesus was a young boy. It says he grew up healthy and strong and was filled with God's wisdom as God's favor was on him. When Jesus was 12, When his family traveled to Jerusalem for Passover, as they did every year, excuse me, it was a large group from Nazareth making the trek south for the temple at Passover time. And they were just within a range where it was travelable without too much discomfort. It's about 70 to 80 miles from Nazareth to the temple there in Jerusalem. But it was such an important holiday that the town, many of them got together and traveled together. We pick it up in verse 41 of chapter 2. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him. Can you feel the panic? As a parent, it's one of the most sickening feelings to be missing your child. You start thinking, what a horrible parent you are. I must be the worst parent in the world. But the reality is, even the best of parents struggle with a child wandering off. You can imagine the home crowd. I don't know if you've ever traveled a distance with a community of people. And if you have kids that are like young teens, they just kind of hang around and do their own stuff. And you know that there's accountability just from the community that travels together. I'm sure fun and confusion ruled the day in that process. But when all was said and done, it was okay. God gave them something to remember. So they went back to Jerusalem and they looked. For 3 days they looked. Starting with verse 46 of Luke 2, 3 days later when they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Well, if anyone would have context, he would. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. But why did you need to search, he asked. Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they really didn't understand what that meant. Then he returned to Nazareth and with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and all the people. You've heard it's been said, it's a lot of work raising parents. That passage is very fascinating as parents. And it's interesting, I won't get into it too much, but as much as Joseph and Mary took in, as much as they knew for solid fact, we find later on in other passages, they really didn't connect 100% to what it meant to have Jesus as a son, what his role was, what his life meant. There's one last ingredient I want to talk about with Joseph, Joseph as a father, and that Joseph, we knew him to be very responsible, and one of the responsibilities of a father, as we've talked about in the past, is to teach your oldest the family trade, the family craft, and Joseph would have mentored his son in that craft, his construction work, be it with wood as a carpenter or a stonemason with stone or possibly even iron, as we talked about. That one's for you, Rusty. And whatever it was, it would have involved many hours, much trial and error, as a father would teach his son the trade. Joseph would have spent much, much time. And I'm sure a lot could be communicated in Scripture. It's not about that, those days. As he grew up from being a baby to a young boy to a teenager, just the time they spent. I mean, he didn't really leave his community until he was 30. So he was involved with that construction job. I can remember telling my kids when they were younger, I was responsible to God for raising them. In fact, I wasn't responsible. I was especially responsible to God for how I lived my life because I was the model, the main model in the center of my children's eyes. Joseph was a man of good character with a strong devotion, and he did his best as a parent. I would guess there were many times he felt inadequate in the process. But he also felt on a mission for God to do the best job he could in raising his son. God chose him. As intimidated as he was, he knew God chose him to be Jesus' earthly father. God has chosen you as parents to raise your children. And we know that raising doesn't stop when they're done with school. It goes on for a lifetime. To this day, I get emails, I get calls from my kids. Dad, what do you think? What would you do here? And I wish I had better answers, but I do the best I can. It's important to know we will all be held accountable for what we do and what we don't do in regard to our children. It doesn't mean our children aren't responsible for their decisions of their life, for how they live. But as long as God allows us to be influencers, maybe to be in control and be responsible for their care, it is our duty to point them to God Himself. I believe it's the most important thing to remember as we raise our children, to help them understand, to know the reality that we are all sinners. We are all in need of forgiveness. We need to let our children know clearly that we are all lost, except for God's redemptive plan and provision through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the whole reason Jesus came to earth. We can't earn God's grace, at least not by our efforts, not by our works. But the awesome, the most unbelievable thing is it's available to everybody, everybody who believes in Jesus and calls him Lord. You could say, as a parent, the most important mission field you have in this life, the first one you have, is your family. We must be on guard. Satan is always standing close by, looking to influence us, looking to lure us away from God's way for our children and for us. We have a responsibility to educate eternal things, to nurture our children in the ways of God that are critical. No one else is in the position we are. We may have doubts and questions. We may doubt ourselves often because our role can be intimidating, as it was for Joseph and Mary. But God is faithful. He does not leave us alone. He gives us His Spirit to guide us, to even work with us through our mistakes, as we look to develop our children in vital and close ways with Jesus Christ. It's a purpose we can all embrace. Even if you don't have kids, there are lots of opportunities to speak into their lives. There's lots of opportunities to model what it means to be a Christ follower. I think of Awana or working with children here. I mean, you just know there's lots of opportunities. Just as Joseph and Mary were faithful in their responsibility, let's empower our children in their faith. Let's bolster their confidence in the Lord by faithfully passing along the faith we have to them. God is with us. He told us so well through His Son, Jesus Christ, that first Christmas morning. Matthew 1:23, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Let me pray. Lord, we are humbled with the responsibilities that you give us. We're humbled as we think of our children, as we think of the children around us and the influence we have. Help us to be good examples. Help us to be examples you would want us to be. You chose Joseph and Mary as parents. You also choose us as parents. Even if we don't have children, you've chosen us to be influencers on young ones' life. Help us to realize that responsibility. Help us to realize how you gift us to carry out your work, to carry out your mission in the lives of those around us, but especially those ones that are dearest to us and closest to us within our own family. Thank you for your strength you give us through your Spirit, Lord. Watch over us during this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.